Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Anti-Defamation League is known as the leading anti-hate organization in the world. They were formed more than a century ago. Part of the ADL's work is tracking extremist activity and hate crimes. This year, the nonprofit is reporting California has dealt with a significant increase in anti-Semitic and extremist activity, with incidents at campuses, bars, and school board meetings. At a time when ADL tracked the highest ever number of anti-Semitic incidents nationwide. To get a better understanding of the report and root causes, we're joined by Teresa Drennick with the Anti-Defamation League's Central Pacific Region. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting us on this morning.
Thank you for making the time. I mean, this comes on the heels of the report that your organization released this month. It's titled Hate in the Golden State, Extremism and Anti-Semitism in California. And it really dives into the past 2 years in our state. What goes into tracking data for a report like this?
That's right. We just released this report, Hate in the Golden State, last week. We have a very unique center at ADL called the Center on Extremism, where professionals track extremist trends, ideologies, and we also track groups across the ideological spectrum. We have a staff that includes investigators and analysts, researchers, and also technical experts who are all tasked with strategically monitoring, exposing, and then hopefully, ultimately disrupting extremist threats in California and also throughout the nation.
What stands out to you about California compared to the rest of the nation?
Well, I think that in California, we are very proud often of our multicultural communities, the fact that we really uphold our liberal values and our civil rights. So it's very shocking to some and disappointing to learn that here in the Golden State, we also are experiencing a high level of extremist activity and an incredibly concerning rise in anti-Semitic activity. California experienced, in fact, the most extremist-related murders and the second highest number of anti-Semitic incidents in all the country when we looked at the years 2021 and 2022.
Is that per capita? Because given that California has the largest population in the country, or is it could it be somewhat attributed to the fact that, you know, we're home to more than 40 million people?
Well, certainly we are a very big state and we're home to obviously a huge population. But what we also note is that year over year, we are seeing an alarming increase. For example, California saw a 91% increase, 91% in white supremacist propaganda distributions from the year 2021 to the year 2022. So even accounting for our very large population base, we are seeing spikes in this type of activity and extremism.
I mean, you bring up a good point because we had the Anti-Defamation League on back in November. That was about 6 months ago. And we were discussing the rise in anti-Semitism. And at that time, the ADL reported that white supremacist propaganda, that it doubled year over year. And that was using data from 2021. It's now 2023. And what I'm hearing from you is that it's not getting any better.
Unfortunately, it's not getting better, and we are seeing communities throughout our state, including, for example, here in where I'm located in the San Francisco Bay Area, and also in our Los Angeles communities where these propaganda distributions are happening practically on a weekly basis in communities that are certainly unaccustomed to and shocked by the virulent hate and anti-Semitic messaging that are contained in the flyers that are being passed out.
Is there also a possibility or an arm of this that people feel more comfortable reporting hate crimes and extremist activity, which is also contributing to the rise in what's being documented in recent years?
I would imagine that, yes, there is some factor there, that there is more acknowledgement of the need to both report and be vocal about what is seen. And we at ADL, and I know in law enforcement, really encourage community members to always report and always document for us what they're seeing, what they're experiencing, because we need the participation of community members to tell us what's going on. Because if folks stay silent, these acts of hate and these acts of extremism cannot be known. And unless we know what's happening, unless our local elected officials, our local law enforcement folks know what's happening, it's impossible to create the types of responses and legislative fixes that are needed to address the growing rise in extremism and anti-Semitism.
Yeah, and that's why data is so important for especially something like this. When it comes to the report, which tracks, you know, the last 2 years, what stands out most to you?
Well, certainly the constant rise in what we're seeing, as I said, the 91% increase in supremacist propaganda is really shocking. And we also know that there were 6 extremist-related murders in California over the years 2021 and 2022, the highest in the country. We've also seen a rise in incidents of political violence that's very concerning to us.
When you mentioned politics, and you also touched on, I mean, California is viewed as a leader in progressive and liberal politics. How do politics play a role in the extremist activity you track? Because your organization also tracks it across the country.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And what we know is that we are seeing it in states throughout the country. As I mentioned, that hate in the Golden State is one of many reports that ADL has focused on and issued over the past several months. And we continue on this research. And it is we know that we need attention at the federal level to ensure that there are laws in place that protect marginalized communities and that address politically motivated violence, especially extremist violence. And we also know that in states, state legislators and state elected officials must also focus on this type of violence and ensure that laws are passed and protections put into place to protect folks at the local level and the statewide level throughout California.
Given that you track these acts across the ideological spectrum, are there similarities or commonalities between groups that would be considered far right versus far left?
At times, yes. There can be, for example, virulent anti-Semitism espoused from groups on the far fringes of the left and on the far fringes of the right. However, the report that we're talking about here really focuses on right-wing extremist groups here in California.
Are there acts that qualify as a hate crime or extremist activity that perhaps the general public might not think of as a hate crime or extremist activity?
Well, I think that many people don't know that it is actually a crime here in California to post certain symbols that are considered symbols of terror. For example, a burning effigy like a burning cross, a Nazi swastika, or a noose placed in public locations with the intent to terrorize or make the victim feel fearful for their safety or their life. That's actually a crime here in the state of California. And it's something that law enforcement does focus on and needs to focus on to ensure that that these symbols that do, in fact, strike terror in the heart of many marginalized communities and many members of the community don't continue to crop up. Mm.
Does the report also give your organization and, in turn, hopefully policymakers and people who can affect change a better understanding of root causes? I mean, is it just as simple as connecting this rise to the pandemic?
No, it's not so simple as that. I mean, clearly we saw a rise in some of this activity during the pandemic that was related to, for example, masking mandates or vaccine mandates. And as you know, we saw many right-wing groups adopting, for example, Nazi symbolism, like the Nazi swastika on flags to protest mandates like that. But I don't think that it is as simple as just looking at the pandemic and saying this started during the pandemic and will end as the pandemic tapers off, because as we know, we are getting back to life as normal post-pandemic, yet we are continuing to see this rise in extremist activity.
So what stands out to you about potential root causes for what's contributing to this rise in hate crimes and extremism?
So what we are seeing, and I think that it's really noteworthy to look at this, is that many of these, what were smaller extremist or fringe groups, are meeting up with each other, are joining forces with each other, and really influencing, and I think giving oxygen to each other in working throughout California and networking throughout California, and in fact, networking with each other throughout the United States.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Teresa Drenick with the Anti-Defamation League about the rise in extremism in California that was detailed in their latest report, which was published last week. You talk about these fringe groups that now have some more oxygen and a larger platform in recent years. You know, and this report really hones in on California. Are there parts of the state that stand out to you more than others, or is this literally an issue that touches every corner of California?
Unfortunately, I would say that it's an issue that's touching all parts of California. We're seeing it in our larger cities, such as San Francisco, Los Angeles, Sacramento, and also in our more rural parts of the, you know, far northern California and Inland Empire.
In terms of getting that larger platform, I mean, I just think off the top of my head, there has been reporting that, you know, when it comes to extremist groups or groups that are considered far right, you know, taking maybe running for school board, for example, or for elected positions. I mean, are you seeing or documenting that as well?
Yes. In fact, we are seeing individuals running for local elected positions. In particular, we're seeing folks run for school boards and local, like, city council positions. And once individuals run for and in some instances are win their election and are placed on those positions of really important positions within each community, they can and do hold sway and influence.
And also on the arm of networking with each other, there's an element of propaganda, I would imagine, and also outreach. How is that evolving in recent years to grow their reach?
So we have to also look at the power of social media and the internet. The fact that extremist groups who might be very small in number can really, you know, outpunch or seem much larger than they actually are because of the ability to have this megaphone that social media offers and the ability to connect with people all over the country or sometimes all over the world to share ideology, to share ideas, to share strategy. And ADL, one of our top priorities is to ensure that social media companies are transparent in how they address this rise in hate and extremist expression on their platforms, that they need to let the public know how they will address this. And also they need to take care to remove this type of dangerous and hateful content from their sites.
What I also found interesting in your report or in the ADL's work is that, you know, there's also a focus on, you know, something that are tied to like people's interests that you wouldn't necessarily connect to hate crimes or extremist activity. For example, you know, maybe outreach being done within the mixed martial arts community, MMA.
Yes. In fact, the mixed martial arts community, that's a very interesting question and sort of has an interesting tie into this because we're seeing certain of the extremist groups use these MMA or mixed martial arts events to convene and bring together other extremist groups or folks with the same ideology. And they meet and they hold these events. And then the thought process and the focus, the ideological focus that's promoted at the events then emanates throughout the state once the event is over. It's a convener.
Yeah, because it's not just, you know, kind of spreading your beliefs. I mean, what your report is also highlighting is that if I'm correct, that attacks are becoming, or these acts are becoming, more aggressive as well in recent years.
Yes. I mean, as I mentioned, we're seeing people who have been inculcated with these thoughts committing assaults, committing homicide, plotting. We saw a plot to place a pipe bomb in Sacramento at the Democratic headquarters there. So yes, we're seeing a rise in violence and a rise in attempt to incite violence. Mm.
You know, when we talk about hate crimes, I mean, that spans so many demographics, from race and ethnicity to religion to gender. There's also, you know, among the LGBTQ plus community. How are you seeing that evolve in recent years?
So recently we have seen a lot of violence targeting the LGBTQ plus community. And yes, there has been a real sharp focus by many of these extremist groups on that community and on certain what should be lovely and amazing events promoted and put on by that community, such as drag queen story hours. We have seen these story hours at libraries and other locations disrupted by extremist groups and having to be canceled because of the disruptions. In fact, in 2022, the group, the Proud Boys, focused much of their activity here in California on the baseless narrative, the outrageous narrative that members of the LGBTQ community are, quote, grooming children. It's really outrageous.
Yeah, and we've had that locally in Placer County as well. I mean, this report is wonderful, but it's just one piece. What do you hope lawmakers and policymakers do with the findings in this report?
Well, first and foremost, we hope that lawmakers in Sacramento, from the legislative body to the governor's office, take the time to really read through this report and take in the findings that we've put out. And there are certain points that we really hope that they implement. And for example, we think it's very important that, similar to what the federal government has done, that our governor, Governor Newsom, convenes a summit to bring together a cross-section of leaders that represent the various communities that are at risk of hate-fueled violence, including civil rights leaders and experts in addressing hate and extremism, bring together that group and let that group lead the way in plotting the course forward. We also hope that the state of California officials consult with our plans. We have a plan that we call the Protect Plan, for example, which is a comprehensive strategy to address violent extremism while also preserving, which is very important, preserving civil liberties. As I mentioned, we really need to hold our social media companies accountable, and we need to strengthen and increase our hate crime reporting and response.
Teresa, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much for having us on this morning.
And that was Teresa Drenick with the Anti-Defamation League for the Central Pacific Region, discussing ADL's latest report, Hate in the Golden State, Extremism and Anti-Semitism in California, detailing the rise of anti-Semitic and extremist acts happening in the state. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.